Picture this. You're on final approach. 100 feet above the threshold. You're a little high, a little fast, maybe drifting slightly left of centerline. The landing zone is right there in front of you, and something in the back of your mind says this one is not set up right. Most student pilots land anyway. I'm pattern on traffic pattern, right here on radio hangar. And if that scenario rings a bell, today we need to talk about the go-around, because I've been instructing for a while now, and I'm convinced this is the most underrated, most underused, most underpracticed maneuver in the entire private pilot curriculum. Let me explain why that matters, and then let's walk through how to do it right. Quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial? They have you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. aviationsoul.com. Okay? The go-around first. Let's define what we're talking about. A go-around is simply the decision to abandon a landing approach and climb back to traffic pattern altitude. You add power, establish a positive rate of climb, configure the airplane, and fly another circuit. Simple concept, and yet it causes more anxiety in student pilots than almost anything else I can think of. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. A go-around is not a failure. It is not an admission that you can't land the airplane. It is a professional, deliberate, correct decision that you made because conditions were not right for a safe landing. Every airline pilot in the world executes go-arounds. Every experienced instrument pilot makes them. The decision to go around is evidence of good judgment, not poor flying. The problem is that it doesn't feel that way when you're a student. You've been coming around the pattern for the last hour. You've bounced a couple. Your instructor is sitting there with the controls within reach. And on this particular approach, something's off. You're a little high, you're a little fast. The wind shifted, and you look at that runway and you think, I can save this. Let's talk about that word, save, because that word is the enemy of good decision-making on final approach. When you start thinking about saving a landing, you have already made a mental commitment to touching down, and that commitment can override everything your eyes and instruments are telling you. You're no longer flying the airplane objectively. You're fighting it toward an outcome you've already decided on. The go-around removes that commitment. It says, this approach is done, I'm starting over, and starting over is the right call. So when do you go around? Let me give you some concrete answers. Because vague guidance in this area can get pilots into serious trouble. The most useful concept here is what flight training calls the stabilized approach. Different operators define it slightly differently, but the core idea is consistent. By a certain point on your approach, usually 500 feet above the ground in visual conditions, your airplane should be in the landing configuration, on the correct airspeed, on the correct glide path, and aligned with the runway centerline. If those boxes are not all checked by that gate, you go around. Write that down somewhere. 500 feet is your gate in visual conditions. If you cross that altitude and you're still working to get the airspeed right, or you're still chasing centerline, or your glide path isn't where it needs to be, go around. Don't see if you can fix it lower. Go around. Here's why the altitude gate matters. As you descend below 500 feet, you're running out of time and options. A correction that takes 5 seconds at 500 feet still gives you 400 feet of runway to work with. That same correction at 50 feet gives you nothing, and the workload in the flare, the roundout, the touchdown itself, there's no bandwidth left to simultaneously correct a wayward approach. You need to walk in the door already organized. Now let's talk about other situations where the go-around is clearly the right call, even inside that 500-foot gate, traffic on the runway. This one should be automatic. If there's a plane, a vehicle, a deer, anything on the runway you intend to use, you go around. No hesitation. The controller calls the go around. If approach control or tower tells you to go around, that is not a suggestion. You execute immediately, acknowledge on the radio, and sort out the details in the air. Wind shear or sudden airspeed changes on short final. If your airspeed drops suddenly or you hit a significant gust that puts you way outside your approach parameters, go around. You can't always know what's waiting between you and the ground. Runway incursion. You're cleared to land, but another airplane is turning onto your runway without a clearance. Go around, call it out, sort it out from altitude, and here's one that gets less attention than it deserves, your own gut. If you look at the approach and something just feels wrong and you can't immediately identify what it is, go around your instincts. As a pilot or processing inputs your conscious mind hasn't caught up to yet, a go-around costs you about 4 minutes. Ignoring that feeling costs a lot more. All right, decision made, you're going around. Now let's talk about how to actually do it. The technique for a go-around in a typical training aircraft, your Cessna 172, your Piper Cherokee, your Diamond DA-20, follows the same basic sequence, power, attitude, configuration, in that order, power first. Full throttle or takeoff power smoothly applied, not jabbed in, not hesitant. Full power established, some instructors say announce it out loud, going around. It commits you and it cues everyone else in the cockpit. As the power comes in, you're gonna feel the airplane want to do some things you need to manage. In a high-wing Cessna with a fixed pitch prop, you're gonna feel left turning tendencies come in pretty strongly. Torque, P-factor, the whole package. Right rudder to keep the nose tracking straight. This is not optional. Student pilots sometimes get surprised by this when they go to full power in a low, slow configuration and the nose swings left. Plan for it. Right rudder applied smoothly and firmly. Attitude. Establish a positive pitch attitude. You're not trying to climb steeply. You're trying to stop the descent and transition to a climb. A positive attitude, nose slightly above the horizon, is what you're after initially. In a Cessna 172, think somewhere around the attitude you'd use for a normal climb. The airplane will tell you when it's ready. The airspeed will start to build. Here's where a lot of student pilots make their biggest mistake, flaps. If you've got full flaps extended, which is common on a normal approach, you do not want to retract them all at once. Full flaps create a lot of drag, yes, but they also create a lot of lift. If you retract them all at once near the ground, you can actually cause the airplane to sink temporarily while the airspeed has not yet built up to support the now reduced wing. That's a bad place to be at 50 feet above the ground with full power and a nose that wants to yaw left. The technique is to reduce flaps incrementally following your aircraft's pilot operating handbook procedure. In most training aircraft, you retract from full flaps to an intermediate setting, maybe 10 degrees. Establish a positive climb with that configuration. Let the airspeed come up, and then continue retracting as climb performance allows. Always follow the pilot operating handbook procedure for your specific aircraft. This is not one size fits all. Once you're established in a positive climb, gear up if you're flying a retractable, and fly the pattern back around. Standard go-around procedure puts you back in the traffic pattern to try again. Upwind, crosswind, downwind, and set up for another approach. Let Tower or Unicom know you're going around if you're in a busy pattern. Now, let me talk about a specific scenario that catches a lot of student pilots off guard. The ballooned landing. You're in the flare, you round out, and instead of settling onto the runway, the airplane climbs. You've floated, you've ballooned upward, you're now airborne again, above the runway. Nose high, airspeed decaying. What do you do? A lot of students' instinct is to try to salvage it. Push the nose down, try to put it back on the pavement, and that instinct can hurt you, because depending on how high you've ballooned and how much airspeed you've lost, you may not have enough energy left to make a controlled touchdown. You push the nose down, you're sinking fast. You hit hard, you bounce again worse, and things escalate in a hurry. Go around. Anytime you've ballooned significantly, and you're not confident you have the airspeed and altitude to make a safe touchdown, apply power and go around. Don't try to force the airplane back onto the runway from a bad flare. Get out of there cleanly. Same goes for a significant bounce. You touch down, you bounce, you're airborne again. If the bounce is small and you're on speed, and you have plenty of runway remaining, you might be able to settle it back on. If the bounce is significant, if you've come back up, if you're not sure about your energy state, go around. Now let's talk about the airman certification standards. Because if you're working toward your private pilot certificate, you need to know what the examiner is looking for. The ACS covers go-arounds and rejected landings as a specific task. The examiner is going to evaluate a few things. They want to see that you make a timely decision, not that you waited until the last possible moment and then fought the airplane around. The decision should be made appropriately and then executed promptly. They want to see proper technique, power in, right rudder, pitch attitude established, flaps retracted in sequence per the handbook, proper climb speed achieved and maintained. They want to see you fly the pattern correctly after the go-around, appropriate wind correction, proper altitudes, standard traffic pattern spacing. And they want to see you communicate if you're at a towered airport or flying a pattern with other aircraft on Unicom. The go-around gets announced. Cessna 457 Sierra, going around. Here's something I want you to understand about the examiner's perspective. Many examiners will deliberately set up a scenario where a go-around is the appropriate choice. They may call traffic on the runway, or they may engineer conditions where the approach gets unstabilized. They are absolutely not expecting perfection every time. What they are evaluating is your judgment. Did you recognize the unstabilized approach? Did you make the go-around decision at the right time? Did you execute it properly? The applicant who tries to force a bad approach to a landing is demonstrating poor judgment. The applicant who recognizes the problem and goes around cleanly is demonstrating exactly the aeronautical decision-making. The standards are designed to test a few practice tips. Before we wrap this up, because this maneuver benefits enormously from deliberate repetition. Fly practice sessions specifically designed for go-arounds. That means going to the airport and, instead of just practicing normal landings, occasionally initiating a go-around at various points on the approach. Not just from the flare, practice going around from a quarter-mile final. Practice from 100 feet abeam the numbers. Practice from the flare. Get comfortable with the procedure at different points so it becomes automatic. Brief yourself before every approach. As you're turning final, say to yourself, if I'm not stabilized by 500 feet, I'm going around. If there's anything on the runway, I'm going around. Making the decision criteria explicit before you need them removes the hesitation when the moment actually arrives. And here's a mental model that helps a lot of my students. Think of the runway as a destination you're not committed to until you're in the flare and you have a reasonable expectation of a safe touchdown. Before that moment, the go-around is always on the table, always available, always the right call if conditions are not right. The runway will still be there after you fly the pattern again. One more thing I want to touch on because it comes up in almost every training relationship I've had. The go-around feels embarrassing, especially if there are other pilots watching, or if the pattern is busy, or if you've already gone around once and you're setting up to go around again. I understand that feeling, it's real, and it is completely irrelevant to safety. Nobody in aviation thinks less of you for going around. In fact, any experienced pilot watching you execute a clean, well-timed go-around from an unstabilized approach is going to think that person is flying well. That is sound judgment. That is what we want to see. The go-around is not the maneuver of failure, it is the maneuver of professionalism. Fly it often. Brief it before every approach. Make the decision before you need it. The Federal Aviation Administration's Airplane Flying Handbook covers go-around technique in detail, and the Airman Certification Standards lay out exactly what's required for the checkride. Both documents are worth your time if you're in training or preparing for a test. More conversations like this one at RadioHanger.com. I'm Pattern. There's always one more lap in the pattern if you need it.